This is the Primal King Podcast, but first, a quick message.
Crosso Ranch has raised premium beef for 5 generations, but we've always kept it to ourselves, but not anymore. You now have the ability to get ranch-raised, USDA-certified beef from our mountains in Idaho delivered directly to your dinner table. Don't settle for growth hormones, steroids, or imported beef on the store shelves anymore. Go to CrossoMeats.com right now to place your order. Your body and your taste buds will thank you for it. Even our girls think it's really yummy.
Buy Crosso Meats. I love it.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 71. All right, so I want to talk to you all today about something that most of these people who are the elite of the elite do, but most people don't really talk about it for fear of being seen as petty or maybe vengeful or I don't know. It's just kind of a weird thing to talk about, I guess. But it drives so many people, and I know that if you can channel this the right way, it will 100% help you out as well. All right, everybody, let's go ahead and let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another solo episode of the Primal King Podcast. Definitely fired up, excited to talk with you all today. So I'm going to preface today's topic with, I hope this doesn't make me sound vengeful, vindictive, petty, or any of that type of stuff. But it's something that I think needs to be said because it's something that helps a lot of people. But I think so many people, there's almost like this stigma around it that a lot of people don't want to talk about it. I mean, I guess you hear people talk about it, but I don't know. I'll let you all make the call on this. So one of the things that I got to thinking about is kind of what drives people to be so successful, right? Like you have all these different things that people talk about. You know, it's motivation and it's focus and it's, you know, maybe intelligence or work ethic. Like you always hear all of these things. But you want to know something that pretty much everybody who is, you know, like elite, you know, when it comes to business, when it comes to sports, when it comes to, you know, so many of these different areas. You want to know one thing they almost always, almost everyone that I know or that I've studied or that I've read on that is elite. I'm talking your Michael Jordan, your Tom Brady's, you know, your elite of the elite. These people are, they find a way to always have a chip on their shoulder. Okay. So one of the things that got me thinking about it is, you know, Tom Brady, we're getting ready to watch Super Bowl coming up, and Tom Brady now is with the Buccaneers. And one of the things, if you've studied Tom Brady at all, is that you will realize that he has this unique way, and Bill Belichick does it for the Patriots too. And maybe Brady learned some of that from him. I don't know, but he almost has this like very, very unique way of motivating himself. And you wonder like, okay, what is it about Tom Brady? He's not overly athletic for like, you know, professional athletic standards necessarily, right? He doesn't have a rocket arm for a quarterback. He doesn't really have any of these attributes that you would look at him and be like, oh man, he's fast like Lamar Jackson. Oh man, he's got a rocket arm like a Josh Allen, right? Like, and I know not all of you guys are into sports, but the truth is that if you look at Tom Brady, the dude's 43 years old, and he is willing his team into the Super Bowl. He didn't have a great game in the championship game, but there's something about him that just drives him and fuels him, right? Michael Jordan, the same thing. You look back at Michael Jordan's career, and he is, at least in my opinion, the best basketball player to ever walk the planet. Why would we not look at his example, right, as far as with what got him to be an elite player? Kobe Bryant, same thing. So just real quick, all of these players had this chip on their shoulder that drove them and that fueled them. Call it a grudge. Call it, you know, vengeance. I don't know. Call it whatever you want. But I think a lot of people don't necessarily want to talk about this component because it does. It kind of makes you sound petty. And so I got to thinking about this, right? So Kobe Bryant, if you look at like even his younger years, he went an entire summer league basketball season without scoring a single point. Now you're talking one of probably, depending on who you're talking to, one of the 10 greatest basketball players to walk the planet, you know, top 20 maybe, or maybe even top five, depending again, I don't want to get into that debate. But you're talking out of all of the people on this planet who have ever picked up a basketball, the dude is in like the 0.00001%, right? Like he is way up there. And he is someone who didn't score a single point. And I've coached basketball. I coached basketball for like 7 years. And I remember having kids on my team that, quite honestly, were absolutely terrible at basketball, right? Dad made them play, mom made them play, didn't want to be there. And it was like, even those kids at some point in the season, it seemed like would somehow find a basket, right? They would somehow score a point. And so then it's like, man, how bad did this guy, did Kobe have to be in order to not score a single point all season? You know, at some point you would think he's cherry picking and he got an open shot or, you know, he heaved one up there and it just happened to rattle around and go in, right? Like at some point you would think somehow what went on to be one of the best basketball players to ever walk the planet would have figured out a way to score, you know, a basket in his, you know, elementary school summer league. But he didn't. And it drove him and it fueled him, right? Tom Brady, drafted in the sixth round. If you watch any football at all, if you've ever watched a Tom Brady game, you've probably heard that. Man, there's been a lot of players drafted late in the draft that, you know, they end up, you know, having decent careers and a lot of other ones that you never hear of after they're drafted, right? So why Tom Brady? Okay, obviously he has some physical attributes. He has some mental strength and everything else, but why? Because he put this chip on his shoulder, right? He put this chip on his shoulder that fueled his success. Michael Jordan, one of the funniest stories that I've ever heard about Michael Jordan is he was playing, I think it was, if I remember right, it was like back in the 92, 93 season, somewhere in there. And again, this is where Michael Jordan's really starting to ascend as one of the best basketball players in the NBA and eventually in, you know, all time, blah, 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 right? So this no-name guy, I bet you, even if you are somewhat of a basketball fan, you probably never heard the name LeBradford Smith. Well, this guy went out and he put up like 36 points on Jordan. And then apparently he might have said a little thing or two after the game to Jordan. And man, did he use that to fuel him. Jordan went out and put up like 36 points in the first half of the next game, right? And he just used that chip on his shoulder to be able to fuel it. Okay, so you may be wondering like, okay, great sports stories, right? Well, here's the other thing is that in life, in business, no matter what it is that you're doing, I believe that one of the ways that you can have an unfair advantage is if you use some of these things that happen to you almost, I don't know, like in the words of Bobby Boucher and Waterboy, right? Like you're tackling fuel, right? No, like really, it is kind of like that. Like you watch the movie The Waterboy, and yes, it's a silly movie, but it is in so many ways. It's like he's sitting there and he's envisioning all these people that picked on him. And he's envisioning all of these people that made fun of him and tortured him basically his whole life. And then the next thing you know, he's going out and just tearing it up in football, right? Again, it's a movie, it's a stretch, but hopefully you understand the concept here. Because the truth is that I look back, one of the coolest things that I did as far as like, you know, sports is concerned, is we took eight players, or maybe nine, maybe it was nine. And again, I'm not trying to go down the old glory days or whatever, but just to hopefully kind of reinforce like even how it's worked in my life is I remember we took like nine guys to this passing tournament. It's like the passing tournament in the Northwest, had all these huge schools there. And here comes us nine from our tiny little podunk school in the middle of nowhere. And I remember like we went up there and we had a huge chip on our shoulder, right? Like we had something to prove because these schools would see us walk in with nine guys and basically laugh at us, right? I mean, we didn't have like the fancy uniform. We didn't have anything. They all had all their great gear. They all had all their players. They had guys that only played on offense and guys that only played on defense. And here it is, like nine of us that are playing both sides, offense and defense, in this passing tournament, 7-on-7, right? So we basically have two substitutes to go through this entire tournament and we won it. Now, I don't think that there's a way that we win that if we hadn't developed a big chip on our shoulder. When we won state, I remember in our second, our semifinal game, our coach comes in and he's like, yeah, this team just, they reserved my restaurant downtown for their victory celebration. You want to talk about motivation, right? And then, of course, like coaches, as we do, you use that as fuel. So now all of a sudden we have this attitude of no one thinks we can win. They don't think we can win. The paper said we couldn't win. You know, no one thinks we can win. And we went out there and just kicked their ass, right? We were so mad by the time we started that game. I mean, that team didn't have a chance. So it all comes back to this, whether, again, because most of you right now, I'm sure, are not playing sports. You're not, you know, reliving the glory days like I'm doing, right? But the truth is that maybe you're building a business. Maybe you're looking for motivation to work out, right? Like, I remember one thing that fueled me for a lot of my success in high school is that when I was a seventh grader, I had a coach, bless his little rat heart, right? There's still no grudge there. No, just kidding. But really, no, when I was a seventh grader, I hit puberty, pretty chubby, and he wouldn't really let me play quarterback. He didn't really say that I was too fat, but he did put me at center and nose guard, right? So any of you who know football, that's, you know, that's kind of where the chubby kids go a lot of times, right? And I remember like getting older and it was like, I had that in the back of my mind. It's like, you know, I've got to be a better quarterback. I'm going to end up getting put back on the line again. You know, I can't let myself get out of shape too much. And I use that as fuel to drive me into the accolades and stuff that I end up having as a quarterback. And so again, like there's just so many instances of this, right? Like whether it's Tom Brady using drafted in the sixth round as fuel, Aaron Rodgers using the fact that, I mean, if you ever watched when Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, was sitting there in, you know, I think they used to have the draft in Radio City Music Hall or whatever it's called in New York. And they thought he was going to be like a top five pick. And he just kept falling and falling. And the camera keeps going to him. And, you know, you could just tell he was humiliated because everyone, you know, thought he was going to be some top draft pick. And he slid all the way down into like the 20s or whatever. And, you know, he's talked about using that, that all of these teams passed him up and he's used that as fuel, right? You talk about so many of these businesses, you know, these business owners, they talk about how many times they were told no, how many times people told them that they couldn't do something. And it was like every single time they had a setback, they used that as motivation. I mean, guys, even in our current business right now, I feel like I have a huge chip on my shoulder to build Crosso Meats as big as I can because I look back and I have a chip on my shoulder that my dad got screwed over by these cattle conglomerates and everything else that gave him so much stress that there's no doubt in my mind it contributed to him having a heart attack, right? I mean, it was shortly after, you guys can go back and listen to previous episodes, but it was shortly after he had sold all of his calves and like there just wasn't any money left, right? Like he was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then, you know, a few weeks later, he dies of a heart attack. And there's no doubt in my mind that that contributed at least somewhat to the stress that ultimately led to him dying. And so for me, I look at this business with a big chip on my shoulder because it's like, you know what? I may not be able to take out these cattle monopolies, these meatpacking plant monopolies. I may not be able to do that. But what I might be able to do is to put a small dent or maybe cause enough awareness about it, or maybe our business gets so big to the point to where we're able to give other ranchers an option and not just to get continuously screwed year in and year out by these people, right? And so I use that to fuel me. Even with the podcast, like you guys have no idea how many people turned me down to come on this podcast. And I think I may have talked about it a little bit at one point, but I straight up had one quote unquote influencer be like, ah, no, sorry. Actually, it was his assistant, but it's like, nope, sorry. Your audience isn't big enough. You know, we only go on podcasts that have an audience of 100,000 or more downloads a month. And I get it from their perspective, but there's also the part of me that's like, ah, big time in me. Okay, cool. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do everything I can to hopefully pump out the best content that will grow this audience big enough to where people like that are asking to come on my podcast, right? I mean, it is. It's different now. Like I used to never have anybody ask to come on my podcast, right? And now I get emails of people asking to come on. You know, these agencies reach out to me and so-and-so wrote a book and can they come on? And already like I've seen some of that. But again, guys, like I've used that chip on my shoulder to be like, I'm going to do everything I can to where you guys know every Friday a new episode is coming out. You hopefully at this point, you know that I'm not going to bring somebody on unless they can provide value, unless they can provide insight, you know, or entertainment. Like, I'm not going to bring somebody on and waste your time. Like, I hope that that's kind of the relationship that we've built so far with the podcast. And again, like, so much of that comes back to where I'm going to have that chip on my shoulder. I'm going to carry that grudge a little bit as I'm building this podcast, because I want to get to the point to where people don't tell me no, right? It's more about, oh, you want me to come on your podcast? When can I come on? Like, that's what I want to do with the podcast. And so I've used that, you know, when it comes to working out, like, use that. I'll never forget, like, I had this girl that I kind of dated, and a few years after, you know, I hadn't seen her for a few years, and basically, she kind of called me fat, right? Like, you go, you put on that freshman 15, it's like, you can use that stuff. That's the beauty of it, right? Like, you can use that stuff to fuel you. And so what I hope really comes out of this is that I know that there are people that work in bad jobs. I know there's lots of people who live that reality. I know that there's people who get bullied, right? I know that kids get bullied. Kids are mean to each other. We can do all of these catchy slogans and campaigns that we want. The truth is that a teacher isn't always going to be around. No matter how much you try to educate kids, they're still kids, and they're going to pick on each other. They're going to bully each other, and it's just the way it is. Like, it happened to me. I remember seeing it. No one likes it. No one wants it to happen, but it happens. And so what do you do, right? What do you do when these things happen to you? I think that if you do it properly, you can use those things to fuel you, right? Like, you might not be, you know, if you're a freshman and you're getting picked on in high school relentlessly, I'm sure it's brutal. I didn't face that, but I can only imagine, like, how bad it must be, you know, especially if you're someone that you can't beat up the bully, right? Like, you can punch him in the nose, but you're probably going to get the tar beat out of you. So what do you do, right? Yes, you can tell a teacher. Yes, you can tell your parents, and there can be stuff that's handled that way. And obviously, we should try to do that. But at the same time, to me, the ultimate revenge is to get to the point to where you can use that as fuel. Maybe it's fueling you to learn, you know, mixed martial arts so you can defend yourself better as you get older. Maybe it's fuel that you use to go and be as successful as you possibly can and make tons of money so you can hire a guy to go kick that guy's ass, or, you know, no, I mean, don't do that. That's bad, right? But no, like, in reality, like, you can use that. You know, maybe you have an awful boss, but yet you could use that fuel, put that chip on your shoulder to where you come home, and as opposed to sitting there cracking open the beer and watching 3 hours of Netflix, you actually go home and start researching on how to build your own business. Or maybe you start educating yourself so you can get a better job. Or maybe you're taking night classes so you can get a degree that would advance you to a different position. Like, there's so many things to where all of these things that happen to us may piss us off. They may, kind of create us as being a victim, even, maybe, right? And it's not to say that you're not a victim of any of those things. But the truth is that how do you react to it? And I have seen, right? And I have actually lived to where you can use those things as the fuel, as the fire to be able to get to that next step, right? To push you maybe when you don't want to be pushed, right? To educate yourself, to get a better job, right? Like, maybe it is something to where you've been overweight your entire life and people have made fun of you, and, you know, it obviously it hurts your feelings and everything else, but maybe you can twist that. You can use that to put a chip on your shoulder to where you use that to actually start working out. You use it to actually start eating better, as opposed to just saying people are mean. And so, guys, what I would have you consider is that if Michael Jordan has used this and it's worked for him, Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady, you know, you read so many of these big business owners, you know, even my former boss, it talks about some of these things that he had to go through in order to build what's probably close to a $1 billion business, right? The things that we've done within our business, the things that I've done with the podcast, and, you know, even back to the sports days, like, this is stuff that you can channel and can actually be your greatest asset, right? Like, people, there's kind of that old saying, like, your mess is your message. Like, you can use your mess. You can use the bad stuff that's happened to you to actually fuel that next step. So if you are going through something harder, if you do have trauma in your past and everything else, like, I would ask you to consider, like, how can you channel that to actually propel you to do the things that you want to do, right? How can you channel that to work out even harder? Maybe you were a chubby kid when you were younger and you got teased relentlessly for that. Like, how can you do it? Like, even my brother with his business, like, with the way that his last job ended, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind when he started his business, he had a freaking, you know, the chip the size of Rhode Island on his shoulder, right? And it's propelled him to be successful with his business. It's been a huge asset. Like, I've had conversations with him. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me talking about it, to where it's like, you know what? I want to build this business so big to where these people can't help but take notice of me, right? These people that piss me off, whether it was people within the community or whatever else, like, I want to build a business. And so that's the greatest form of revenge, right? The greatest form of revenge isn't actually going and finding that bully and kicking his ass. The greatest form of revenge is to be so successful within your life and your job or your business and your marriage and all of those things, to where that person looks at you and is like, man, what the hell did they do to accomplish that? And then you can be a good person and help them, right? So anyways, guys, just consider that. Consider the stuff that you're going through right now may not be terrible. Maybe the stuff that you went through, maybe that is the exact fuel that you can use to accomplish everything that you actually want to accomplish. All right, get out there, guys. Get it done. Look forward to talking with you again next week. Have an awesome day, everybody. We'll talk soon. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. There is one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.